Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tammy Joyner. I am your host for the show. Today, we are live from American Folk Art Museum. That's at 2 Lincoln Square, Columbus Avenue, between 65th and 66th Street. The web address is www.folkartmuseum.org. Admission is free. It's closed on Monday. Today is Sunday, April 19, 2015. And we have a gallery exhibit here. They have a gallery exhibit, and it's entitled When the Curtain Never Comes Down, Lifelong Practices, Public Action, Daily Ritual, and Performing Arts. So the gallery is open for this particular exhibit from March 26th to July 5th, 2015. Now, I had a chance to review the particular exhibit, and I'm in the lobby now blogging, and I wanted to let you know that there were it was about self-taught artists, and the whole idea of the program is to, I'm reading from a blurb here, and it says it's about self-taught artists, and it says most self-taught artists can be perceived as performing artists. Their work is infused with daily rituals, public actions, gestures, and enactments, defining a lifelong artist practice for which the curtain comes down. So, this is the blurb that they have created for this particular exhibit. You can pick one up at the front door, and it's about paintings and sculptures. The exhibit also includes ceremonial clothing, kinetic apparatuses, euphorial installations, writings, fragments of every changing construction, music recordings, and other statements that have been captured by photographers and filmmakers. So they have, an exhibit. And the one that was most striking for me and the artist that we chose today to feature is Lonnie Holly. And this is a performing artist, if you will. The new term is a term that that they're going to discuss further in forums later. I see that on the public programming list. They're going to discuss the word performance art because it's a discipline, and some people believe it's a discipline, some people believe it's a self-taught situation, and to lump them both together changes one's perspective from the other. If you're a discipline, almost like a structure from education, then they want to know why would you have the same name performing artist if it's sort of a street artist that you find in folk art. So sometimes they don't have any element other than, basic constructions. And sometimes everything is fabulous because this construction itself becomes street art or folk art, which is the self-taught. And sometimes through education and discipline, you get a lot of construction and you get a lot of technique and you get a lot of discipline, which would sometimes be called you maybe the performing artist, or you would have a, another name as you discussing now. How is this situation being lumped together all in one, all inclusive? And if it ever become a pay scale, should the self-taught or the discipline with the education, are you going to lump both performing artists, with the same pay scale? So I've heard the artist, the terms before on some copywriting situations that I have when it came time to do, songs I sing. They wanted to know if we were performing artists. Am I going to perform the work? Is the work a CD, or is it just lyrics? The lyrics itself goes into the Library of Congress. When you send a piece of material, like a CD or a tape or something like that, then that becomes like the performance. So the performing artist who has rights to the work, did you write the song, send the lyrics? Did you do the performance, send the CD? But if the performance is a company that creates CDs for the artist, then that work through contract with the company becomes the songwriter's property. So therefore, there are conditions that we need to discuss on this particular terminology as it pertains to the Library of Congress as well. And the American Folk Art Museum has forums, and they have groupings and discussions. They're going to have lectures on this particular title for different artists, songwriters, and those that use sculpture, clothing, and different things in their shows. And, you know, some people come with a costume designer. He gets paid for that. Some people design their own costumes. You know, they have rights to that. They display their costumes. Now you call them performing artists, or are they just, you know, still singers that do their own, you know, costume? So we have these fine lines that are determining, you know, a lot of ownership. So we have to worry about that. So my particular artist that I picked here today was a folk artist by the name of Lonnie Holly, and he is a musician that is responsible for two albums, and he started in 2012, and one of the albums is called Keeping a Record of It, and this is a spiritual and black traditional album. It's a personal narrative, and sometimes it rescues, it saves and rescues and sinks all the same time, and it uses American Baptist type reform in order to, clarify some boundaries. And it's an evolving type practice that he has there going. And there's a new word that I found in his show, case, which was Afrofuturist, and I have to learn more about that, because there's a trance-like style going on that orbs with his exhibit of music and sculpture, and the practice of using his sculpture to depict the names of his songs. So he has a particular song entitled Protecting Myself the Best I Can, and then on stage or in this exhibit, he has a sculpture that is a like a pot, a wooden pot, and it's filled with bats, golf clubs, and different things like that, meaning that these are weapons that he can use to protect himself the best I can. And then he has a song to go with it. So you would get a picture if you were, you know, at the exhibit, or you would see the exhibit, you would hear the song, and you would hear the narrative that goes with the song to depict this type of, sculpture for protection. And then there's the second song that says, there's also a pipe in that exhibit, Protecting Myself. So then there's Learning the Right Way, which is a school about a song about a wooden chair, an ironing board, and a metal lunchbox. And the name of the song is Learning the Right Way. So this type of wordplay is what we were talking about with the graphic artist that was also doing book covers, how you try to depict wording to explain your art. So art in that particular situation was an art form for book covers and explaining, you know, the particular storyline. But this particular art explained the music lines and the lyrics within songs. So this was like a definite, like, you know, wonderful stylish. It's not just a heart, broken heart saying I was in love and my girlfriend hurt me, which is the same type of understanding. This is like, you know, I might have to beat that with a bat, you know what I'm saying? And therefore, you know, we went on with that. And so this was awesome. So we found here at American Folk Art Museum that people are inspired around, you know, the country. People have stories to tell. They live life each day to perform and to tell their stories. Some people are self-taught. Some people come through like spiritual gospel, the blues. All of this has been recorded in video records, pictures, sculptures, display boards. They have kept a catalog of clothing, hats, crowns, masks, wood buildings, everything. Some things are in vivid primary color. There's gold. There's another particular exhibit that was, striking. It was the rock and roll exhibit that was full of beaded clothing, and it was a collage all over, you know, a coat and a pair of pants that, depicted where the person had been. There were beads like at Mardi Gras. There was pins that you put on that says, like, I love sex. There was, all type of little medals and things, you know, all attached to the clothes. Just, you know, a depiction of where you have been and, you know, that you like to live, you know, vivid in everything was almost like, just rockers, you know, just like a rock and roll style, but it was very folk art. It was very natural and self-taught. It was very out of my environment, that I like to express what I'm going through. I like to keep a collage of my history. It was, you know, very much this type of collection, but it was done to such a technique that became personalized for that particular artist that did the rock and roll exhibit. So there, self-expression is a major part of this folk art. And then there's another particular artist that stood out. It was Bill Anhang, and he did a LED light show where he likes to incorporate lights, they say, in the clothing, in his different props that he used with his shows. He goes to other people's shows. He protests, you know, and everywhere you go, there's also a LED light, you know, like some of the kids that go to different roller skating rinks and they buy the neon light necklaces. Well, he's into lights like that at shows, and he put little lights on like Aunt Kane's or like his clothing or like barbells or anything that you can carry around to signify a shaker or anything like that. He uses lights on everything, and so, you know, he's a shining star. He's in the audience, and he's recognized, and for his publicity and popularity, you know, he, you know, became like a folk artist. So, you know, it's so much that, you know, they're different in every aspect, but at the same time, it's American. It's a collage. There's a collection. You find new history. It's Southern history in some of this. Some of them, you know, do, you know, seems like an Italian, Latino culture. You know, there's more going on in America, and people are keeping a record of it. And that's what this whole particular situation was about. And so I enjoyed the display awesomely. My name is Tammy Jordan. You're here at Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about the exhibit here at the American Folk Art Museum. And, you know, there when the curtain comes down, when the curtain never comes down, like you're performing always, like you don't get a moment to yourself, like everything, you know, is being recorded, everything is being watched. They're talking about spirituality. Sometimes, you know, other mentals are getting at you, you know, and, you know, contacting you, and you have to deal with that. If you're an elite or a telepath, you know, there's some, you know, illusion or some type of, you know, call and answer to that particular situation as well. And so we're, dealing with, you know, that type of ritualistic type of information, and where they're using, employing, you know, this issue of identity transformation, public and private ritual, and employs the use of costume, mask, and related performances. So you see that with this type of, you know, voodoo-looking experience that's depicted in primary, not some of the more subtle, angry colors, but depicted in almost childlike primary colors, you see that, or the, you know, educational discipline of school colors that, you know, invokes a new story of safety, we're looking at, you know, people looking right back at us sometimes. So I thank you for listening to the show. We'll bring you another topic as soon as we're able to, you know, come up with another one, and that should be tomorrow. And what we would like to do is give you an update at this time. We've continued to give to the elderly. We've extended our theory of jewels to a new concept. It's our theory to also share jewels with our, you know, friends and neighbors. We've given, you know, we have some elderly neighbors that were good to us when we were children. We like to speak to them sometimes, and we've been repaying them, you know, jewels. If you go to Facebook and look up Tammy Joyner Terrell, you'll see just a listing of all the things that we've been giving as a part of our charity that is not a part of a Theory of Parenting. It's listed in another page, but it realistically, it is a part of our theory of jewels that we not only collect for ourselves, but we do and distribute things for others, and we will continue to do that when we become nonprofit. And we also have, you know, that food going that we've been, you know, sending food to the elderly and giving them back things. So you'll find out just a listing of things that we do there. So don't forget to check us out. Markel Green has his own page at Facebook. Tammy Joyner has her own page at Facebook. It'll tell you about more events that I've shared at the New York Public Library Midtown Manhattan branch, and it just tells you about all of the people that I did get a chance to see and hear their lectures, see their books, and, you know, have, you know, a good night, you know, listening and enjoying the information that was delivered. So we've been doing that. Markel is doing good, you know, at high school. We're planning graduation. We're planning the prom. We're getting ready to – he's working now. Markel had his first job. He's working for the Goodwill Company. He's an employee there. He's doing part-time work there. We're proud of him for doing that, working at a charity. And We also have our Theory of Cooking page, and that features a Theory of Cooking 1 and a Theory of Cooking 2, which is available at Amazon.com. And you can check out both books at the page, or you can check them out at Amazon.com. We have more coming up, more coming at you. So if you stay tuned, we'll be here for you, and we hope that these efforts will help you bond with your teen, your troubled teen, and or your estranged parent, or, you know, just in the household with your parents, you know, just an experience of communication, because, again, this is a communication platform. And, you know, it's about family and staying together and having a lot of fun together and learning together. And that experience is not just from the stages of, you know, development within the mother, you know, to 18, it extends, you know, for life. So until next time.